I don't know. Praise the Lord. We are all God's co-worker. And God has a real great enterprise. We have to join with Him. Oh, I just encourage you. I hear a lot of messages from our brother Lee. And when he was young, and he hear a gospel, and he was encouraging. And after he gave a prayer to all the heaven, I will give my shout to you, even I eat the tree of the skin or drink the water of the mountain. I will go all the city to preaching the gospel for you. And he make a swear like that. It just, the Lord honor his prayer. And he just gave up. And he preaching gospel. Even later on, he gave up his job. And he stopped by faith. He preaching gospel. Even the Lord honor his desire. Even he, from the mainland China, every city, after come to Taiwan, he had nothing. He had nothing, and he had a big family. And he went to Taiwan, and by faith, he preaching the gospel. And was the gospel was so prevailing, and to increase a lot. Even they have no more chair, they have so the small chair, the people come everywhere to hear his gospel. But the Lord is faithful. Mm-hmm. In that juncture, they have one brother. He's doing very good business, very rich. And he hear his word. And he's so attractive. And he come to him to offer what he all the expense, but our brotherly with just we are not to ask men to do that. But this business boss, he was waiting to get her treasure to the church, and after she so advanced in Taiwan, even he after 1961 or something. The environment pushed him to the gospel to United States for the recovery. Oh, and he had nothing to come to United States, but also the Lord is faithful to advance the everywhere in United States right now. And even, the Lord is so blessed in Taiwan, they have a lot of rich men there. So even the Russia, right? Oh, Lord Jesus, now we are preaching, we are to all the Europe. So we need the co-worker, we need the money, we need the whole-timer. And I say, I am the whole-time too. I have to do nothing. I have not that much money, but I gave myself the time to the Lord. Whenever Lord need me, I join. That's my whole time too. I have to do nothing. I am not interested in the world or anything. But I give my hope into the Lord. When Lord want to use me, I just join in. Praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. Let the Lord use everyone else. We all belong to Him. Actually, we are one with Him too. He's our boss. The enterprise never fail. Then we have pay back a lot, maybe 10 times, maybe 100 times. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord. Many years ago, the Lord, saved me when I was 18 years old. And I really had a burden for the Lord, and I really enjoyed preaching the gospel all over New York City. I really, really enjoyed, and I've been doing that for many years. And the Lord just kept blessing me and taking me on, and through by God's grace, many have come to the Christ. I've been in ministry for many years, 30 years doing ministry in the hospitals, reaching out to the sick, And the Lord just decided one day, well, by situations that occurred in my life, that God was going to take me abroad. But this wasn't going to come. This was going to come at a price. And I always felt it in my heart that the Lord was going to take me out. But I just wasn't ready for it. But then one day the Lord told me it's time to go. And about 5 years ago, I decided to travel. And I've been traveling the world now for 5 years. Africa, I've been several trips to Africa. In this year, Costa Rica. I was in Costa Rica 3 months, Africa 3 months in this year. Traveling some more in some other areas. But this is it came with a price, because it had to sacrifice a lot of things to do. I had to sacrifice a lot of things. It was a lot of things that I had to really consider. And one of the things that came into my heart was many years ago when the Lord started touching me in this matter, and I started to pray, was Matthew 6:32 and 33. It says, "For all these things the Gentiles are actually seeking, for your heavenly Father knows the things that you need." So I started to pray about this verse, and I said, "Well, you know, I can't be so anxious. I cannot be worrying about what my needs are, what I need. I have to really take a step of faith and believe in God that He's going to supply all my needs. No matter where I go, He's going to take care of me, not mine and whoever's with me." Then verse 33 said, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things be added unto you." So I said, wow, this is really a test of faith. So a few years ago, I decided to make a move, and I started to go out and minister. And I found myself in situations that were very drastic, in many situations where I was dire needs. You know, I was in Muslim countries. I was in the midst of Muslims, and in the midst of situations that I found myself in I said, what am I doing here? And I didn't even like the food. So I lost a lot of weight, but I kept preaching the gospel, and I knew it was God's will, because in my preaching of the gospel there, I reached out to Muslims that came to know Christ. I reached out to a lot of folks, and I ministered a lot in a lot of places, a lot of places that none of you probably won't even go. But I was able to do that because of the training that I received when I was in the military. God prepared me for things that, you know, he always does. He has a way of working things out. But in my ministering, I came to churches where denominational churches that they were in dire straits and dire needs, and they would ask me for things. One of the places that I visited was an orphanage. I was sharing this on, what was it, on Friday? Yeah, on yesterday, in the meeting that we were in. No, on Friday, sorry. And the Lord took me to an orphanage. And in that orphanage, there was handicapped people. It was like 70 young handicapped children that needed some help. And they asked me for wheelchairs. I said, where am I going to get wheelchairs from? I don't know where to get wheelchairs from. Another place asked me for Bibles. I said, where am I going to get Bibles from? I don't know. They were asking me for all kinds of stuff. So this happened a few years ago. So when I came back, one of the brothers, I had mentioned to one of the brothers the need of wheelchairs, the need of Bibles. And at that time, one of the brothers said, why don't you reach out to Joni Erickson Ministry? She has a program called Wheels for the World. They provide wheelchairs. So I said, okay, I let that go. I didn't even think much about it. The next day, I came across another brother. He told me the same thing. I said, well, my brother Al just told me the same thing. So I started to pray about it. And then like that Thursday, I reached out to, I looked into the internet, and I went to the internet. I looked up Wheels for the World. It's out in California. So I reached out to them. I gave them my proposal. And then a few days later, they reached back out to me, and they told me what you need. I said, well, you know, these folks out there in Ghana, out in the boondocks in Ghana, and they need some wheelchairs. Can you help them out? Because I can't help them out. So, you know, so he said, well, you know, just give me all the details, give me all the information. So I gave them all the details, information, and they went and they got them the wheelchairs. And a few months later, when I went back, actually a year later when I went back, not only did they get them wheelchairs, but they fixed up the whole place, the whole camp. I mean, they were just incredibly great, some amazing work there. And it was just by just doing a little bit of networking that I did. So then I came back and I told another sister, she asked, oh, how did Africa go? I said, oh, you know, it went well, I just need some Bibles. She said, well, here's a number. Call this number and they're going to help you get Bibles. So I reached out, I called this young man. He called me back and he said, how many Bibles you need? I said, well, give me 35 Bibles. He said, well, 35 Bibles? What's 35 Bibles? You need more than that. He said, well, how much does the box cost? He said, it's not going to cost you anything. He says, I'll give you, so give me 100. And he told me a box is 100. So I said, well, okay, give me 100. He said, no, I'm going to give you more than 100. I'm going to give you 300. And if you need more, I'm going to give you more. So by the grace of God, he provided the Bibles for the children that needed it in Africa. But this is how the Lord works. God operates in very, this God is a God that as we are willing, ready, and able, he's going to take care of us. From my experience, all you have to do is be willing, ready, and able. Open up your heart to the Lord. Take a step of faith. Take a chance. You know, and God will direct you, provide for all your needs, and he'll continue to bless you as you go along the way. This is my experience, and it'll be your experience as well.
Praise the Lord. Our brother's just sharing. It just touches me that we sing this hymn, Channels of Blessing. He's a channel. He saw the need, and the Lord arranged for him to contact these others so that God's move to spread the kingdom. I thank Brother Frank for putting it short, spreading the gospel and spreading the truth that this is God's move. When I first came to Fort Wayne, I met a brother that can't say how much he's touched my life. And he really had a heart for spreading the gospel and the truth. I didn't really have much heart. And we're both in the same job, making about the same money. He has a full family. His wife doesn't work. I'm a single man making the same salary. And he said how he's going to buy Bibles. The Living Bible just came out. Some of you may know. And I thought it was great. The Lord showing me stuff. But this is plain English. So we thought we went in together to buy these Bibles. And I was more of a shame, out of shame. Here's a family man doing it. And I got all this money, so let me do it. But he truly had a heart. This is where his treasure is. And his heart was for the gospel. He had a home meeting. Well, he had a Bible study. He invited me right in from the first day I met him. Make a long story short, his heart was, we know that God is merciful, so he had it in his heart that ex-convicts, they have a hard way to go. They should be working if God opens the door. Well, he had a job where he was like Joseph to Potiphar. The boss, the president of this company, grew from the Lord working through this brother. And the brother would, the president would ask him about different contracts, big contracts, and Jim would pray about it, and he'd say, oh, not that one. We'd be dancing with the devil if we took that. You know, a lot of shady deals. So the Lord would steer him through the proper, true contracts, and this company just grew. And as the company grew, this brother talked to the president and said, you know, if we can get more and more ex-convicts, I think at the last time he told me, 40% of the employees were ex-convicts, but this was his heart. I remember as far as the gospel, one day Coy said, Doug, this is before this job, he said that he had 10 or 11 co-workers they worked in the same machinist shop, and the last one got saved. He said, I've been praying with him, I've talked to him, one guy hit him, the stuff of the gospel, anyway, but the last one got saved. The last thing, and I want to close with this, he had a heart for the young people. In fact, he had every Saturday night, they had a meeting. It grew so big that it grew out of where he was fellowshipping at. They had a place they would go to. And it got bigger and bigger. And people would bring, the young people would bring their friends. And his wife and him would feed them, you know, like we do in the home meetings. And as you know, young people like to eat. So it eventually got too big. Somebody gave him a check just out of the blue for tens of thousands of dollars. I don't know how much it was, but it was ridiculously above more. But then this word says, because his heart is right, having all sufficiency, the Lord gave him the wherewithal, the money, to abound to every good work. I'm just so filled by this, and I thank the brothers, and even Frank said, I didn't have this instruction, but I thank the Lord that we're instructed now. Everything belongs to the Lord. Oh, but what brother, Roger said, I got to say this. If the Lord doesn't tell you, it's so beautiful to hear his voice. Don't just run out there. Satan will quickly give you a figure. Oh, that there's a need there. Okay, Lord. No, 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 no. Wait on the Lord and ask the Lord. Lord, what do you want me to do? Hallelujah.
Greetings from the saints in Tashkent. Uzbekistan. Anyway, I just wanted to share this little bit because the situation in Tashkent, you know, I got a job there. The saints know. They prayed for me. But anyway, the situation is such, the saints can't meet openly in Uzbekistan. But they love the Lord. They are in the recovery because they somehow get to meetings and conferences in the surrounding countries where, you know, it's free. So anyway, they have the situation where they need to, in order to register with the government there, they need a meeting hall, a house, a place. So there is a need there. They're going to bring up this need with the brothers in Moscow. Some of the brothers will be going to Moscow, Ron Kangas and some others, so they will bring up the fellowship, but I wanted, because I'm here for a very short time, I wanted to bring up the fellowship because I do meet with the saints, but not in an open way. We get together. So there's a lot of fellowship amongst the churches, but not necessarily openly. So there is the situation. For it to be open, they need to register with the government and have a meeting place. And they don't seem to have the money for it right now. So anyway, I bring this up for prayer, not for any other reason, for prayer. Because I believe the Lord would do something. We've all been praying for the situation. The saints in Anaheim and other places are aware of what's going on. So the brothers come and go. There was a brother in Moscow, I met with a brother, but it's not like, okay, you can go out and preach the gospel openly. You can't do that. It's a Muslim country. But the Muslims there are secular. They don't go to the mosque, they don't pray, they don't do all of those things. They're very westernized. So there is an openness. And over Thanksgiving, there was an American brother that invited us. They prayed. You know, so there is an openness. And the president of Uzbekistan is open to all people coming. So we really need to pray for the saints to be, for the gospel to go out, for the saints to meet openly. But please pray for this matter. I believe the Lord will do it. He will. He is able. But it is through the body. A lot of times. It's always through the body. It's not through one individual. We can all pray, we can give, we can go, but not everybody can go, but we can all pray, surely, and the Lord will provide. But through the prayers of the saints, through the prayers of the body. So that's what the saints are burdened for. So I wanted to bring up the burden. Please pray.
Amen.
As the brothers were speaking this morning, I was reminded of an experience I had a long time ago. Just to offer this testimony as a learning. I appreciate both our brothers gave their testimonies, even current testimonies, for our learning. And that this matter of giving is a transaction with the Lord. Even the matter of supporting a full-time serving one, when you give to support a full-time serving one, the transaction is not between you and the serving one, but it's between you and the Lord. When I was in the full-time training, they began a new endeavor, which was to take 2 weeks to go as a team to preach the gospel in another place. So we went to a number of us went to a small city somewhere in the United States. And we served there on a college campus for 2 weeks. And there was a brother who was like our team leader. And we fellowshiped with the saints there. We went on campus and preached the gospel. We participated in the church life. Then close to the end of our 2 weeks, one of the elder brothers gave an envelope to the brother who was leading our team. And then we had a meeting, and this brother gave each of us an envelope. And us being young and inexperienced, we said, we did not come here to, you know, receive this kind of gift. What should we do with this? Because our support is from the training. Our support is from the church that sent us. We don't need this. And we don't want to have the appearance of receiving a tip for coming to this place to serve in your church. So we asked the brother, what should we do with this envelope? It was not a huge amount of money, but it was still something that bothered some of us. And it was very good. The brother told us, the saints, they give to the Lord. They don't give to you. They give to the Lord. So you receive this envelope from the Lord, not from the saints. And for you to not receive it would be a dishonor to the Lord and also a dishonor to the saints. So receive the envelope. Take the grace to receive the envelope. But you ask the Lord what to do with the money. So I was surprised by that because I did not go there to receive, right? Just as Paul said, I do not seek the gift, but I seek the fruit which increases to your account. So that receiving of the envelope forced me to ask the Lord, Lord, what should I do with this envelope? Because I don't need it, but it's from you. The saints gave to you, and then you gave to me. So what would you like me to do with this envelope? And the Lord said, you can give it back to me. But don't put it in the offering box of the church you were visiting. So that was the Lord's direction to me. And there was a joy. That was Saturday. Then it was the Lord's table, and then we left to go back to the full-time training. So that Lord's table was extra joyous. I can't tell you. Anyway, the Lord blesses us when we give. Amen.
This week, I was very touched about the morning revival. And hear the words special touch me, say, charge the dear saints that beside their regular given to the Lord through the church, they have to give, should give an additional 5% of their income every month. Oh, I worked for the financial the field for years, and my family all work for the banks. And I do see what kind of the blessing we receive, this kind of the training, this kind of the teaching. Oh, that is blessed. Amen. Because in the financial service, your financial field, you'll see a different kind of how you manage your money, how you've been as a financial advisor, how you charge your money. But no, those are not work. Only this charge is really give the dear saints. We are here. We are the dear saints. We are the dear believer. We are the God's partaker, the partner, I put it this way. Thank you, Lord, for teach us. Give us the strength to receive this training, this kind of the teaching, and take action. Amen.
Praise the Lord, saints. Amen. I guess we're quiet because we're all sitting doing our calculations, right? You know, I had a coworker. I'm retired now, and she's a believer, and she was a member of another church, and she would always come and report how much she gave, and she gave a lot, you know. And I remember I would, you know, we had like a little prayer group and there were other believers with us and we would sit and we would kind of listen and whatever. And, I remember one time she was doing this and it was just she and I told her, you know, you have to stop doing that because, you know, you're blessing, you're taking away the blessing that the Lord will, or the reward, you know, you're sounding like the Pharisee, you know, that I remember the Lord said that he had his blessing or his reward now because he took it for himself. And so, And so, but I am convicted today because I think that maybe my dear sister, and she is a dear sister, she's wonderful, you know, she loves the Lord, that she really loved giving. And I think that this was just an outpouring to show us how much she loved giving. I don't know if maybe I felt like the Lord had told me to, you know, to warn her of that. And that, you know, because the other people would just, we'd kind of sit there, probably because we felt like we're not giving enough, and we felt, you know, kind of like, but I think that that maybe it was just an overflow of the joy that maybe I myself was not experiencing in my own giving. So, you know, I'm just confessing to you what I probably should be confessing to her, but, you know, just... It's not so easy to be a joyful giver, you know. So don't be so much in the calculations. Just go to the Lord and say, how much today, Lord? And whatever he tells you, make sure to give it with a smile. Amen.
Amen, saints. Our giving is a matter of the body life. This is all about the church and the kingdom. And God's going on. It's certainly not a matter to tell other people about. It's very private. It's secret, and it should be kept in secret. You know, the matter of how much you give is between you and the Lord, and how you do it. This word about an additional 5% is very important in the sense that how else do we take care of the Lord's move? How else do we take care of the full timers? Without our giving, that just does not happen. You don't want them to be out there suffering unnecessarily. They need to go on. They need to be supported in a real way. But, you know, and the Old Testament, they had a law, a regulation to give 10%. We're not under that regulation any longer. We don't have to give 10%. It's not a calculation any longer. It's a matter of faith. It's a matter of our walking in the Lord and saying, Lord, you gave it all to me. Let me give it all back to you, starting with myself, starting with my heart, my time. Everything I have, Lord, is yours. Why don't you take it and use it? So however that comes out is up to you and the Lord. It's really a personal matter that is very, very precious to the Lord. And the blessing is something that's secret as well. You don't have to worry about what the blessing is. You will see the blessing come to you in so many different ways. It won't be financially always. It may be just the way the Lord touches you or how you're gained or how you can help others. It's amazingly organic. And that's the key to being in the church life, is we're all organic in the Lord. We don't do things in a programmed way. We don't pay someone to lead the church. We lead by the burden the Lord gives us, and not by the need, but by the burden. So however the Lord burdens you and speaks to you, that's the leading that we need to follow.
Amen.
Nothing legal. Nothing legal. Just a good word about how we can take care of the full-timers. This 5% is very important, but it's not a legal matter. It's a suggestion, something that we can go with that'll build the church and build the kingdom.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. And this is the fourth week while we are on the same topic, regarding the material giving for the Lord's move today. So there are three verses that always strike me. I'm sure those are very impressed to you too. They are all short. One is, God loved the cheerful giver. Right? The second one, where the treasure is, your heart shall be there. Right? And the third one, it is more blessing to give than to receive. So those three verses, actually, that also in the past 37 years, since my wife and I got married, that's the three verses that we practiced. So when we first got married, we sit down, because we all have a fixed income, so we separate, we pray to the Lord, so we consecrate ourselves to the Lord, not only our marriage, but also the money that we have. So we've set aside the money, right, just for the Lord's need. And later on, that we in the bank, we set up a two checking account, one checking account to receive our automatic direct deposit. And the other one, automatically, we by the percentage, automatic transfer from that account to this account. That's a checking account. That's just for the Lord, for the Lord's move, and for the offering. So we must testify in the 37 years, we never lack anything, and we also give according to what the Lord gave to us. And so this week, when we read the verses and the morning revival part, it's come to the real, in the practical, what to do. Right? We have a full-time job dropping full-timer. We have also job keeping full-timers. So we are the full-timer for the Lord in the different area, but we all are for the Lord, for the church, and for his works. So we always say that we are in the local church, but our heart is for the whole earth, for the Lord. So we are actually, regarding the money giving, just like a gospel preaching in the early church, they start from Jerusalem to Samaria, to the whole Judea, and to the outermost part of the earth. So very often we are just, look at ourselves, we are in Jerusalem, just myself. But the Lord wants us to go out. The money maybe will go to the church. Yeah, then one day the Lord touch us. We see the church needs something. Yeah, lighting, any other expenses. So we give some to the church. That's we come out from Jerusalem to Samaria. Then later on we have God enlarge our heart, enlarge our vision, and we care for the nearby churches. And eventually we care for the Lord move on the earth. So for this year, even though we have a certain money for the Lord, but we must testify that we give more than what we give, right? And there's no regulation 10% plus 5%, but all up to your heart. The more you give it to the Lord remember that. And every time we went out to visit churches, or we attend some kind of gathering, the international conferences, and we fellowship through the fellowship, and we know what the need for that locality, what the need of the Lord for that region, or for that area. So we give. So when we come back, we pray, then we give to the Lord. So therefore, we are not just in here for our local church to take care of the local church need. We need to have a heart for the Lord. Amen. And also one testimony that we moved to Stony Brook 2016. And start from that time, very often, the saints in Stony Brook receive an envelope from the saints here, for the food services, for the Lord's work in Stony Brook. So, again, that's not for me, that's for the Stony Brook, designated to the Stony Brook, right? And we constantly receive that. So my fellowship with the saint there, when we received it, we really thank the Lord, receive that with thanksgiving. Even though we don't have a church meeting there, that you had not taken a church ground, but the saint cared for us there. And so because of that, when we spend the money, we need to be filled very carefully. Right? That's from the Lord through the saints. Right? So that's really through this fellowship, and we really see the Lord move on the earth, not only in our locality, but for the whole earth. That's why the burden of the subject of the morning revival is the material offering for the Lord's move today. Hallelujah. The Lord really wants our money, because where our treasure is, our heart shall be there. Amen. Amen. Not just the money itself, the Lord wants us to consecrate ourselves to Him. Right, so in the practical things, we can participate. Amen.
I just want to give a very short testimony. The Lord bothers me, I want to share, so I have to share. It's like many years ago, and there's a need for the Lord's move locally, and the Lord just give us the burden to participate in this need. So I discussed with my wife, and we write down a certain amount and put in the offering box. And when I got home, I told my wife, it's so joyful to give such money. And you know, my wife told me, if you give more, you'll be more joyful. So it's really true. It's more blessing, you know, to give than to receive.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you.